Harper Audio presents The Mighty and the Almighty, Reflections on America, God, and World Affairs, by Madeleine Albright with Bill Woodward, read by Madeleine Albright. Copyright 2006 by Madeleine Albright. Production copyright 2006 by HarperCollins Publishers. Part 1. God, Liberty, Country. 1. The Mighty and the Almighty. I had watched previous inaugural addresses, but the first one I truly took in was John Kennedy's in 1961. My brother John, who was in junior high school, played the trumpet in the Denver police band and had been invited to Washington to march in the inaugural parade. It seems that everyone remembers the snow on the ground and how the glare of sunshine made it impossible for Robert Frost to read the poem he'd composed for the occasion. The new president, hatless in the crystal cold air, his breath visible, asked us to ask not. It was the speech about passing the torch to another generation. I saw it on television, and that's how I experienced all the inaugural addresses until 1993. Then, and again 4 years later, I watched President Clinton deliver his speeches from the balcony of the U.S. Capitol. The words, combined with the crowds and the view of the Washington Monument, brought out the sense of history and pride in the United States that has done so much to shape my view of the world. The inaugural address provides an American president with a matchless opportunity to speak directly to 6 billion fellow human beings, including some 300 million fellow citizens. By defining his country's purpose, a commander-in-chief can make history and carve out a special place for himself, or perhaps one day herself, within it. On January 20, 2005, facing an audience assembled in the shadow of the Capitol, President George W. Bush addressed America and the world. From the first words, it was evident that both he and his speechwriters had aimed high. "It is the policy of the United States," he declared, "to seek and support the growth of democratic movements and institutions in every nation and culture, with the ultimate goal of ending tyranny in our world." He continued, "History has an ebb and flow of justice, but history also has a visible direction, set by liberty and the author of liberty." The president concluded that America, in this young century, proclaims liberty throughout the world and to all the inhabitants thereof. He might have added that in the Bible, God had assigned that same job, in the same words, to Moses. This speech was vintage George W. Bush, one that his admirers would hail as inspirational and his detractors would dismiss as self-exalting. It was of a piece with the president's first term, during which he had responded to history's deadliest strike on U.S. soil, led America into 2 wars, roused passions among both liberals and conservatives, set America apart from longtime allies, aggravated relations with Arab and Muslim societies, and conveyed a sense of U.S. intentions that millions found exhilarating, many others ill-advised. Within the United States, there are those who see the president as a radical presiding over a foreign policy that is, in the words of one commentator, more than preemptive, it is theologically presumptuous, not only unilateral, but dangerously messianic, not just arrogant, but rather bordering on the idolatrous and blasphemous. The president's supporters suggest the contrary, that his leadership is ideally, even heroically suited to the perils of this era and in keeping with the best traditions of America. My own initial instinct, particularly when the president is trumpeting the merits of freedom, is to applaud. I firmly believe that democracy is one of humankind's best inventions, a form of government superior to any other and a powerful source of hope. I believe just as firmly in the necessity of American leadership. Why wouldn't I? When I was a little girl, U.S. soldiers...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?